Bruce, the chief scientist for the Planetary Society. He joins us every week here for What's Up, and someday maybe we will hear again from E-Curb.
Talk to you later, Tam.
Planetary Radio is produced by the Planetary Society in Pasadena, California, and is made possible by its members who work at NASA centers throughout the USA. Mary Liz Bender is our associate producer. Josh Doyle composed our theme, which was arranged and performed by Peter Schlosser. I'm Matt Kaplan, Ad Astra.
The 5 p.m. news block is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Oak Ridge Cabinets, Northern California's full-service manufacturer of custom cabinets since 1981. Oak Ridge offers cabinet design and manufacture for your home or office. Located on the Midway at Hagen Lane in South Chico, more information at 893-8774 and at oakridgecabinets.com. If you enjoy this program, you can go now to kzfr.org and tip the show. And we have coming up Non-Human Radio. Non-Human Radio is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by the local, seasonal, and organic delights at Farm Star Pizza, where the farmer is the star. Farm Star features artisan pizzas, salads, appetizers, and desserts. And they have, of course, vegan and gluten-free offerings, as well as craft beer and eclectic wines. Farm Star Pizza is open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner with live music every Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday evening. They're located in Chico at 2359 The Esplanade, and you can also find Farm Star Pizza on Facebook and at farmstarpizza.com. We're also made possible by Cedar Hills Manor, offering 900-plus square foot two-bedroom apartments. Now, under new management, apartments have walk-in closets, private patios and balconies, air conditioning, barbecue area, a pool, on-site laundry, and they are cable-ready. For more information and to take a tour, call Cedar Hills Manor at 361-9139. This is KZFR 90.1 FM in Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Up next, Non-Human Radio. Welcome to the September 5th, 2018 episode of Non-Human Radio, where we talk animal rights and veganism every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. here on KZFR 90.1 FM in Chico and streaming online at kzfr.org. With me, as usual, is my co-host, Danny Toms. Danny, please give the listeners a summary of what they'll be hearing in the next half hour.
Today, we're in the back-to-school spirit. So we'll be talking about a vegan-friendly college that, unfortunately, is not in Chico, followed by news of historic legislation that will make it illegal to test mascara on bunnies. Did you know they did that? And we'll end with news from Down Under, with news of an agribusiness that is finally being brought to justice. Jeannie, take it away.
Thanks, Danny. With the beginning of the new school year, I thought this little news piece would be particularly relevant. This is from a CBS TV news station in the Dallas, Texas area. A dining hall at the University of North Texas is redefining the way its students eat, and the effort is gaining popularity. I guess you probably know where this is going. At the University of North Texas Mean Green Dining Hall, long gone are the days of pizza and chicken wings for breakfast, lunch, and dinner for college students. Chef Matthew Ward, the general manager at the Mean Green's Dining Hall, said that their place is 100% vegan. Can you imagine that? I know. What? Yeah, at a college. Mean Green is the name of the university's football team, and this is the only dining hall on campus that is called Mean Green, which I think is appropriate. This dining hall doesn't serve any animal products. This is the one place where you can't get chicken, beef, milk, or eggs, not even a little bit. Instead, all of the food is carefully sourced and made using vegetables and gluten-free ingredients, so I guess you can't get any bread here either, which is too bad, even though bread is typically vegan. The dining hall even has a hydroponic garden where it grows some of its own greens. The chef said the cafeteria currently feeds 1,600 students, which is proof of just how popular it is. And if you do the math, that is about 5% of the student body, because it's 1,600 students out of a student body of about 31,000.
I still think that's a pretty large number, because how many students eat lunch on campus, per se, by buying lunch?
Yep. One student interviewed said that it was the first time she didn't have to worry about whether there was meat in her food, and she said she felt safe eating there. It's estimated that 80 to 85% of the students who dine at the Mean Green Cafeteria aren't even vegan or vegetarian. They just like the way the food tastes and the way it makes them feel. It's that kind of approval for the food that Chef Ward said will keep them busy cranking out more meals for the rest of the semester and onward. So, yeah, the University of North Texas is located in Denton, Texas, which if you're avid vegan, longtime vegan, you will know that Denton, Texas is also the home to Spiral Diner, which is a very famous vegan eatery. This is their second branch in the Dallas area. They're pretty known for their cheese and a really pretty awesome macaroni and cheese. So go figure. And what the article didn't say is that this vegan cafeteria has been in operation since 2011. So this is not a new thing. This is just the ongoing regular awesomeness at the University of North Texas, the kind of awesomeness we sadly don't see on the Chico State campus. They may be vegan friendly in a lot of their dining halls and at the BMU, but they are definitely not fully on board like this particular campus is.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, if it's going on since 2011, that kind of puts to rest arguments that, you know, oh, nobody will buy it. You know, they won't last that long. I mean, that's a long time in Texas, of all places.
Oh yeah, and it's amazing, and it's it shows that there is a market. These students do want it, and how nice it would be, right, to be able to go into a cafeteria and not worry that, oh, do you have to ask if there's chicken broth in the rice or, God forbid, sour cream or mayonnaise in the guacamole, which...
Oh, what, Trace Ombre's what?
really, what?
But yeah, especially, you know, especially in a student setting at a student cafeteria where it's students that are serving you, they're not going to know what all the ingredients are. They're on part-time jobs for a semester kind of thing, too. So
yeah,
it's so nice to have that dedicated.
Yeah, that, what's the word I'm looking for? That feeling has to originate from the kitchen.
Yeah.
Right. It's difficult for kitchens to adapt on the fly.
Yeah.
For special requests. So what do we have on story number two, Danny? News story number two.
All right. In animal related news of national importance, the California legislature on September 1st of this year passed Senate Bill 1249?
Yes.
All right. This is a proposal that passed on Friday, which would impose the nation's strictest laws on animal testing for cosmetics. The bill now heads to California Governor Jerry Brown's desk for his signature. We'll see how that goes. The California State Assembly passed it unanimously 80-0 with a concurrent approval by the Senate. That's pretty impressive. Authored by California Senator Kathleen Galgiani and co-sponsored by the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, which is PCRM, and Social Compassion in Legislation, SB 1249 will make it unlawful for cosmetic manufacturers to sell any cosmetic in California if the final product or any component of the product was knowingly tested on animals. So they're covering the whole supply chain of the products there, and throwing in the knowingly, because sometimes it's hard to know where these commodities come from. This applies to new ingredients moving forward. Old ingredients will be grandfathered in, because it would be silly to try to ban all cosmetics. So they're being practical. If Governor Jerry Brown signs the Cruelty-Free Cosmetics Act, the new law will go into effect January 1st, 2020. So what kind of animal testing does this new law affect? Cosmetics testing using animals includes irritant testing in the eyes of rabbits called Dreyse testing. Bunnies don't produce tears, so if you restrain them in boxes and clamp their eyelids wide open so that they can't blink, you can put whatever you want into their eyes and they can't do anything about it. So with no tears to cry out the chemicals, they literally just have corrosive products sitting and burning on their eyes, sometimes for days, without any pain relief. And, you know, while the mysterious white-coated lab people stand around and take notes of the suffering. And generally speaking, these things are just also over the top. You know, if you're going to get a reaction, you get a reaction pretty quickly. You know, torturing an animal and say, well, after 5 days, their eyes exploded. Okay, is that relevant to a human? Is anyone going to put stuff in their eyes directly and keep it there for 5 days? It's never going to happen. So for over 70 years, researchers have been performing these types of gruesome testings on thousands of rabbits, documenting the ulcers and other injuries that develop to allegedly ensure cosmetic items are safe for consumers to use. There's also the lethal dose test, which is LD50, which involves force-feeding cosmetics to animals. This test is used for many products, not just cosmetics, but at least in one small portion of this consumer market, it's now going to be outlawed.
Yeah, like water. They will do LD50 tests using for tap water, for safe drinking water.
Is it like 50 times the normal amount you would consume or something? Do you remember the details?
This is typically the fish survive, but they need to do the test, and it's and they would use it on contaminated water or water that they felt wasn't adhering to the guidelines that they're required, that each water treatment plant is required to adhere to.
Okay. Cosmetics will still be safe for human use because we have, of course, over 5,000 cosmetics ingredients that have been established as safe in the United States, and Europe has a list of over 11,000. So we've got plenty of already known safe cosmetics ingredients. The needless animal testing cruelty is tied to a small, very profitable world consisting of those who make money from cruelty to animals, including breeders, the rabbit breeders, the cage and restraining device manufacturers. I mean, how'd you like to put that on your resume, you know? Like, I more effectively restrained animals for torture.
New and improved.
Yeah. Universities that use taxpayer-funded grant money. So often there's also a bastion of quote-unquote researchers in academia that just really want these grants to do sort of random animal testing because it keeps them funded. So legislation like this has impacts that's going to reach far beyond California because just as with automobile emission standards, California's market is so large that many health and beauty products will have to modify their procedures to comply with California law, which would mean then that they're going to sell the same product in other states also cruelty-free. This is good stuff, and
this is long overdue. Like many animal advocacy, much animal advocacy legislation, they have to keep running at the target,
right?
Multiple years, and this time they just managed to make it to the goal line,
right?
And get this thing passed. This included animal rights groups supporting this, celebrities. Evidently, more than 6,500 Californians wrote to legislators to support the bill. And that's not many.
Yeah.
6,500. That is not a lot of people. But they had a lot of impact. And I just mentioned that because when we mention legislation and we mention, you know, calling your legislator or writing to your legislator, it's worth it. Even if you're not writing because you have a sense that our district legislators aren't going to be responsive, sometimes it can help to write to the committee chairman who needs your support
to be
able to convince the other committee members to vote this thing out of committee and move it on to the next step.
Right. They probably don't say, well, we only got 6,500 letters out of however many millions of people are in California. They go, we got 6,500 for this and, you know, 20 against it.
And given where we are in Butte County, which is often not favorable to any kind of progressive legislation, much less animal advocacy legislation, a letter from Butte County speaks a lot because we're like an ag. We're known as an ag, right, agricultural county. So our letter, our voices count a little extra because we show that there's like a schism in the red county. Okay, you've been listening to Animal News on Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio, co-hosted by Jeannie Trezino and Danny Toms. Okay, we're on to our final story. Our final news story comes from the CARE2 website with the major news that Australia's Department of Agriculture has permanently canceled the license of the country's biggest live sheep exporter, Emmanuel Exports. We've talked about the sheep industry. I looked it up. It was back in April of 2017 where we learned that according to the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization, the FAO, statistics from 2012 showed that there were more than 1.2 billion sheep worldwide and that sheep production is increasing in some countries, declining in others. And China has the most sheep, and Australia and New Zealand dominate the world market for lambs and wool. And though Americans don't commonly eat mutton, which is what the flesh of adult sheep is called, some people eat a lot of baby sheep, which is commonly called lamb. But generally, Americans don't find mutton in the supermarket. This live export, canceling the license of this live sheep exporter, affects the mutton market, not the lamb market, not the baby lamb market.
And if, as an aside, and we talk about this sometimes, you know, words matter, and so they say lamb, they say mutton, they don't say, you know, baby sheep leg, adult sheep hearts. And we do that across all the animal body parts. And it's, you know, it's historical reasons to that, to disassociate from what you are doing and to make it easier.
Yep, it's a distancing, linguistic distancing from what you're actually doing. Just to hammer it down here, if you're eating lamb, you're eating a baby animal. Sometimes these lambs are slaughtered as young as 6 and 8 weeks old. Just wrap your head around that, 6 or 8 weeks old. Or sometimes as old as 3 to 5 months old. And this is what the lamb industry is in America, right? That lamb chop is at the expense of a truly innocent small animal.
Right.
However, back to this ruling. This ruling about the Australian live export ban from this particularly horrible exporter is about a very regional market specific to the Middle East, where adult sheep are commonly eaten, where mutton is common. When the wool production of these Australian sheep declines, many of these sheep are sent to auction. And during the auction process itself, the sheep may die because of stress and injuries. But of course, there's worse ahead for the sheep. And that is what this live export is. Those that survive the auction process are sent by the millions from Australia to the Middle East on huge transport ships. The system is known as live export because that is what the meat buyers in the Middle East markets demand. Medium-sized transport ships hold 30 to 40,000 sheep, but there are also larger ships that hold up to 130,000 sheep. 99% of Australian sheep are exported to Middle Eastern countries on journeys lasting approximately 3 weeks. If they survive that trip, they will be slaughtered without being stunned first, because that is customary in many Middle Eastern countries, similar to kosher slaughter. This means that after a miserable life, they will feel every moment of a terrifying death. And of course, the American consumer who doesn't eat mutton still has a connection to this horrible business because we wear wool.
Mm-hmm.
If you are wearing wool, you are directly connected to this whole horrible business, which is why vegans don't wear wool. So back to this latest action by the Australian government. The cancellation of this particularly egregious Australian company's license, Emmanuel Exports, follows a criminal investigation that began earlier this year, which resulted in the temporary suspension of the company's license. The cancellation comes after whistleblower footage from Animals Australia, an Australian animal rights group, showed the reality of conditions in the company's ships, prompting outrage from the public and politicians. The footage was featured on 60 Minutes and revealed trucks packed tightly with distressed animals who, in these conditions, are vulnerable to heat stroke, exhaustion, and dehydration. Animals Australia released a statement to the press saying that, quote, "An unprecedented spotlight was cast on the business model of the live sheep trade and the failures of the regulator to hold law-breaking exporters to account. For the first time in the history of this trade, rich export companies are no longer calling the shots. They are finally being held accountable to the law. This marks an historic win in the almighty battle to save animals from export cruelty, end quote. And so, yeah, and kudos to Animals Australia. Kudos to the undercover investigators who, you know, captured these incriminating video clips and move their legislature to action, because a legislator can't ignore it.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you film any animal husbandry company that's at any scale, you always find illegalities.
Yeah,
and every single time.
It's not just the one bad apple.
Yeah,
it's inherent to these industries.
It's a reason they lobby to make it illegal to film from the road, to film inside, to have any sort of they treat, you know, the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act here in America, trying to equate filming inside of a slaughterhouse with being a terrorist who's blowing up buildings.
Yep.
So.
Yep. So yeah. So. Yeah, just it's good work. This company had attempted to evade the law, just like we see American businesses doing, animal agriculture businesses. A few weeks ago, we talked about the dairy in Oregon. That was a tremendous scofflaw,
right.
But that wasn't related to animal husbandry. That's what's awesome about this particular case, is that it's directly related to animal cruelty, whereas that dairy story we talked about, that mega dairy, was related to water quality issues, and not animal cruelty issues.
And I'm sure this will just be replaced with a kinder, gentler ship of slaughter, but at least it'll be slightly better, and it sets a precedent, and they're thinking about it. All right, so transitioning from that story, I think it's time for our Chico Animal Rights Calendar of Events.
Thank you
very
much.
What do you have
much.
For us? Yes.
Thank you very much, Danny. So I want to highlight coming up on September 8th, that's this Sunday, is the People's Climate March. This is a giant environmental activist event that's going to be happening in San Francisco, and there will be a group of vegans called the Plant-Powered Planet Protectors, I think it's called P4, who will be gathering to march as a contingent in the People's Climate March. They'll be gathering on September 8th at the Embarcadero Plaza at 10 a.m. Look for a giant inflatable cow to find this group. That sounds like it'll be amazing. A World Watch report estimates that 32 billion tons of carbon dioxide are emitted by livestock production each year, while the U.S. EPA also implicates animal agriculture as the largest emitter of methane, which is a much more powerful greenhouse gas. And according to the UN, animal agriculture is responsible for 18% of global greenhouse gas emissions. Therefore, reducing our consumption of animal products is essential to preventing the most devastating impacts of climate change. This is why the People-Powered Planet Protectors are marching in the People's Climate March on September 8th. So there's still room. If you don't have plans on September 8th, get in your car. Go look for a giant 20-foot-tall inflatable cow and join the good marchers there. September 9th is the Visitor Day at Blackberry Creek Farm Animal Sanctuary from 12 p.m. to 12. Let's start backwards. Sunday, September 9th, from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. at Blackberry Creek Farm Animal Sanctuary in Colfax, California. They will be having one of their rare visitor days. You can get to meet their pigs, chickens, turkeys, goats, and all the other wonderful animals that call the sanctuary home. Space is limited to 30 guests. So for more information and to get tickets, go to www.blackberrycreek.org. Next Saturday, September 15th, is the Cooking for Compassion and Health Indian Cuisine class, hosted by the Chico chapter of Dharma Voices for Animals. That's on Saturday, September 15th at 11 a.m. at the Sky Creek Dharma Center. In this class, Sherry Morgado will explore the ingredients, spices, and techniques that make Indian food so delicious and healthy, and prepare a full Indian meal. You can get tickets at brownpapertickets.com or look for the event in the Non-Human Calendar Facebook page event section. September 22nd will be the Chico Vegan Potluck, hosted by Chico Vegan Meetup. From 6 to 7:30 p.m., just a heads up, we're going to be having a location change. Instead of being at the library, it's going to be at the Wild Oak Co-Housing on Wild Oak Lane. We're going to be using their common house.
What prompted that?
Someone preempted the library, the Spanish group. I think it's a Spanish club. And lo and behold, when I went to go reserve the date, there was the Spanish club.
Aye, aye, aye.
So I hope that they have a great time. And I'm looking forward to being in a different location. The Wild Oak Co-Housing is located at 1950 Wild Oak Lane. That's right near the park, near where the deer pens used to be, if you're an old-timer. So yes, the theme for this month has not yet been decided, but your suggestions are welcome. September 27th will be the Plant-Based Chico Monthly Meeting. It's always on the last Thursday of the month, and that'll be from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the Chico Guild Hall on Nord Avenue. Plant-Based Chico will be meeting, and they will be doing a little mini food sampling of whole foods, plant-based, no salt, no oil, no sugar food, and the event is free and open to the public. And coming up, I just want to give a heads up to October 7th, because this event will sell out. The Chico Peace and Justice Center will be holding their annual dinner. All are invited to the Chico Peace and Justice Center's 38th annual dinner celebration and fundraiser on Sunday, October 7th from 5 to 8:30 p.m. at the Chico Masonic Family Center. This year's theme is honoring indigenous people with keynote speaker Ellie Metters Knight of the Machupta Maidu Indian Tribe. Chico is on occupied Machupta land, so this is to honor the Machupta Maidu tribe and other community members who work for peace and justice. For more information and for tickets, go to the Chico Peace and Justice Center website at cpjc.org. All right. We're running long on the calendar, but I want to give a heads up on one more event that I know is going to sell out. So if you're at all interested in beer and in vegan food, October 13th in San Francisco is the SF Brewfest and Vegan Eats Invitational 2018. That'll be Saturday, October 13th from 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. at the Terra Gallery on Harrison Street in San Francisco. If you love vegan food, puppies, craft beer, parties, saving animals, and making new friends, you want to check out the SF Brewfest and Vegan Eats International. The event is going to be benefiting Copper's Dream Rescue, which finds dogs forever homes. Tickets are selling out fast, so go to their website at sfbve.com for more information and nab a ticket. I guarantee that will sell out, because who can resist beer, vegan food, and puppies, right? All right. So we have one last piece of business to take care of, and that is the animal rights quote of the week. Take it away, Danny.
Today's animal rights quote of the week is from the humble saint, Saint Francis of Assisi, who was quoted as saying, "If you have men who will exclude any of God's creatures from the shelter of compassion and pity, you will have men who will deal likewise with their fellow men." Non-human radio is made possible through the generous contributions of KZFR listeners like you.
This has been Non-Human Radio, a production of KZFR 90.1 FM in Chico. The views and opinions expressed on this broadcast are those of the hosts and do not reflect the opinions of KZFR, its board, its volunteers, or its staff.
We do, however, reflect the opinions of our non-human fellow earthlings who would rather not be killed than eaten, farmed, hunted, raced, experimented upon, shipped across the ocean, have their eyelids held open, and otherwise abused.
Our theme music is Ready to Fall by vegan activist rockers Rise Against. Stay tuned for The Real Issue. From 6 to 7 p.m. coming up next, Sue Hildebrand is in the studio and ready to blow your mind.
This is Danny Toms and Jeannie Trezino signing off. Until next week, be different, be better, be kind.
And go vegan.
Every action is a reaction. We've got one planet. One chance.
And this is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico. Listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond.